Romans chapter 5 and verse 9 to verse 11. Now let me confess straight away that I'm out of my depth with this paragraph. Or to put it another way, I can't find words to set out what I feel must be here. I don't understand the fullness of what is here. I run out of words. I run out of the concept. It's too much for me. But I think, with respect, I'm in good company. I may be wrong in saying this, but I think myself that Paul, if he were here, would say the same. I detect from the way he expresses himself here that he would say something along the same lines. It's too big, isn't it? It's too wonderful. It's too vast. It's too glorious. Well, I run out of words. Often in my books I use an ellipsis, dot, 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 to say there's more to follow. And in a way, this is a holy ellipsis here. There's much more. Indeed, verse 11, not only is this so. Indeed, we get how much more. How much more? We get that in verse 9 and we get that in verse 10. And then we get verse 11, after the how much more, as we get not only so, but. In other words, there's more to come. I've used the illustration that when I was a child, during the Second World War and in England and just after, we were used to utility things. Basic, do-the-job things. But there was nothing luxurious or extra about it. My friend, in this gospel I'm trying to preach, in these few thoughts, just thoughts on Romans, there's nothing utility about it. Oh, it works. Oh, it works. But there's nothing basic or utility or just useful. It's luxury upon luxury. As I say, verse 9, how much more? Verse 10, how much more? And verse 11, not only, but there's more to come. Let's just remind ourselves of where we are. Ruined in Adam, dead in sins, helpless and hopeless under the wrath of God. Chapter 3, verse 21, but now a righteousness from God is made known. By faith in Jesus Christ, all who believe, all who trust the Savior, have a propitiation for their sins, the blood of Christ. The righteousness of Christ clothes them. They have peace with God. In chapter 5, the earlier part of the chapter, Paul has been urging us, believers, I'm speaking to believers here, those who are in Christ, having proved to us this by faith, established it in chapter 4. In chapter 5 he says, now let us go on and enjoy this salvation. Let us go on and bask in it and rejoice in it and delight in it and glory in it. And Paul has set out the doctrine as clearly and as deeply and as powerfully as he can. Remember in verse 8, God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And now we come to this paragraph. Since then, since we have now been justified by his blood, by the sacrificial death of Christ, God is propitiated. His wrath has been expended and satisfied and exhausted for us upon Jesus. How much more then shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Well, that's a tautology, isn't it? Well, yes, but no. You see, because I think the apostle has in his mind what he's going to raise in chapter 8. He knows that the devil attacks believers. He knows that their own conscience, their own flesh will attack believers. He knows that other believers will attack believers. and he knows the world will attack believers. But there is no condemnation now. There is no accusation that can stand. We shall be saved from God's wrath, past, present, and future. Oh, this is antinomianism, is it? Is that what you call antinomianism? This is free grace gospel. Christ's salvation is perfect from first to last. And all my sins and all God's wrath has been expended and satisfied and carried by the Lord Jesus Christ. He has borne it all for his people. Since then, we have now been justified by his blood. How much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Notice Paul's argument. For, I've got grounds for saying it, he said. For if, when we were God's enemies, God hated us, and we hated him. We were far off from God. We were changing the glory of God into our own image and likeness, and serving created things rather than the Creator. We were suppressing the knowledge of God, despising his gospel, laughing at Christ maybe, blaspheming, whatever. If, when we were enemies, God's enemies, we were reconciled to him. What does that mean? That means God satisfied his wrath. He expended it and exhausted it upon Christ. And he loves his people, and he has now cleared the way to bring them into everlasting life. And of course, he removes the enmity of his people by bringing them to faith in Christ and repentance. And they bow the knee and submit to Christ. For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more? Can you see the arithmetic here? Can you feel the argument? Having been reconciled, we should be saved through his life, his ascension, his glory. He ever lives to make intercession for us. I don't think we make enough of this. I don't. Christ is praying for me ceaseless night and day. He's coming again for me. This is his life. He's going to take me to be with him. He's going to raise me from the grave. He's going to transform this lowly body to be like unto his glorious body and to be with him forever. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Have we finished? No. Not only is this so, but we also rejoice. Oh, let us rejoice. Let us bask in this. Let us exult in this. In God, through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now, at this very moment, we are receiving it again tomorrow, the day after, through death, after death, and then forever. We have now received the reconciliation. The ellipsis, dot, dot, dot. What more can I say? What more is there to be said? Much more. But I'm running out of ideas. I'm running out of words. I'm running out of thinking power, feeling power, enjoying power, a fullness in this, a richness. As I say, the kings of the earth have their palaces and their greatnesses and their lands and their money. And this is trash. Here is wealth. Here are riches, indescribable. Unbeliever, you do not know what you are missing. Believer, we live as paupers. John Bunyan pictured it like this. He pictured it like a muckrake, a man on a manure heap, rubbish heap, with a rake, and all he could do is look down at his rake in the rubbish. But just above his head was a glorious crown. If only he could look up. What am I trying to say? I'm saying it to myself, my friend, not to you first. I'm saying it to myself. I can talk like this, I can write about these things, I can read them, but oh, to feel this reconciliation, this justification, this life of Christ. Oh, it's all in this paragraph. I want you to notice this. It's all the act and work of God. Look at that last bit. Through whom we have now received. Notice the passive. It's a given thing. Look at verse 9. Since we have now been justified, passive, is the work of God. Verse 10. We were reconciled. You see, passive. What am I trying to say? I haven't worked it up. The seminaries haven't devised it. The great theologians haven't produced it. It's a reconciliation, it's a justification, it's a salvation that God has planned, purposed, accomplished, and is applying. Salvation, O my soul, rejoice, salvation is of God. And I'll be more specific. It's all centered in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. God, God, God comes in this paragraph. But so does the Lord Jesus Christ and the Son. These words, it's all centered in Christ. Now, if I read this paragraph and I replace the pronouns, you will see this thumping note of God, 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 and especially this, Christ, Christ, Christ. Why am I emphasizing that? Because it's all in Christ, my friend, and only in Christ. Christ is all and in all. I say this for the Muslim. You think Christ is a prophet. He's more than a prophet, my friend. Christ is all. There's nothing after him. There's nothing more to come. Therefore, Muhammad and all the rest are deluders, are deluded, deceivers, and deceived. They have nothing to contribute. It is all in Christ, and only in Christ. I say this for the papist. It's not in Mother Church. It's not in the priest and the cardinals and the pope. It's not in the councils, it's in Christ. I say this to those who are sacramentalists. It's not in sacraments. It's not even in bread and wine, no, no, no. It's in Christ himself. I say to this back to the baptismal regeneration people. It's not in water, it is in Christ. I say it to my own soul. I say it to the Reformed and to the evangelicals. Too often, if your experience is like mine, we've concentrated on the dry, academic, forensic truth. Oh, I want to know Christ and enjoy this redemption, reconciliation, justification that's in him. It's all in Christ, my friend. I say it for you unbelievers. Oh, it's all in Christ. It's not religion. It's not Christendom. It's not churchianity. It's not even in the Bible, as it might say. It's not in prayer even. It's not in repentance or in faith. It's in Christ. Do you understand? You receive him by faith, yes. You find him in the scriptures, yes, but it's Christ. Let me read this paragraph and replace the pronouns. Since we have now been justified by Christ's blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through Christ? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of God's Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through Christ's life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ, we have now received the reconciliation. Did you get it? God, 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 in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. John Fawcett wrote a hymn. A fullness resides in Jesus our head, and ever abides to answer our need. The Father's good pleasure has laid up in store a plentiful treasure to give to the poor. Friend, listening to me, you're a poor, wretched, miserable sinner in yourself, just like me. Benighted, dead, helpless, hopeless, far off. But if you've trusted Christ, you've come into all the treasures indescribable that are found in him. Forgive me that I've not been able to set this before you. I want to forgive myself that I haven't been able to understand or appreciate or feel it. Oh, for grace to love thee more. Oh, for grace to understand more, to feel more, to enjoy more. Once again, unbeliever, will you not come to this precious Jesus? Is he not precious enough for you? What more can he say? What more can he do? What greater offer will you ever get? Oh, let me just read this paragraph. May it speak to us by God's Spirit. May it come off the page of Scripture, be written in the fleshy tables of our hearts, and may it live in our experience, and may we enjoy the Christ of this passage. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? For if, when we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his Son, how much more, having been reconciled, shall we be saved through his life? Not only is this so, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation.